Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that includes GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus for weed management solutions. This week, the G8 International Conference on Open Data for Agriculture was held in Washington, D.C. Attending that was Paul Welbig with Raven Industries. I had a chance to visit with Paul by phone to learn what he learned, some of what he saw and heard, and what the implications are for this idea of making more data or data sets, as they referred to, available publicly and in a form or mechanism where it can be used, especially in developing countries that are trying to come up with ways to create more food and better improve their diets. So listen in on the conversation I had with Paul. Paul, first of all, for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do for Raven.
Well, I've been at Raven for about 13 years in various roles. I lead the product management team at Raven, overseeing some marketing efforts, and then I also an operational manager for our Slingshot product line here at Raven.
You just got back from the what's called the G8 International Conference on Open Data for Agriculture. I know this conference came out of the G8 conference where a commitment was made to put on this type of an event to deal with this issue of data and how it becomes available and to who and for what. Seemed like we had a pretty comprehensive program in terms of the speakers and subjects discussed. Let's learn a little bit about what you saw and heard and would like to share. Where would you like to start?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely the, you know, again, the conference was basically attended by several folks, different government delegates from around the world, university scientists, obviously private enterprise. There's a lot of different folks involved. But basically, they all joined together to discuss how data and having access, better access to data, can help fight hunger, nutrition, and food security across, you know, the world, basically. Really focusing in on, you know, typically Africa and other developing countries that typically have smallholder farmers and maybe mid-size to try to bring up that, you know, the poverty level, if you will, and to increase the food production for feeding, you know, again, feeding the world. So we had a very diverse group to discuss these very, very big topics, and the big topic of the conference was about open data and how, if we were to commit certain data sets, that using that data could help enhance these capabilities by providing, you know, an avenue to develop solutions to help people, you know, grow more food, increase the nutritional value, and improve food security for those regions.
So if we look at those areas here in terms of making this information available for their use, and I know there's a lot of technical factors that would have to be worked out on that, was there anything mentioned or discussed about how in some of those developing countries and areas you mentioned, by making this available, do they have the capabilities to actually, let's say, receive that information and bring it into their farming operation or what have you, communities, in order to be able to use it?
Yeah, and that certainly is one of the obstacles we face and the challenges that are there, as far as there's, as many probably know, there's a very weak infrastructure in some of these areas. That how do you actually get the information to the right people? How does the word spread throughout a village, a community? How are best practices shared is kind of what it comes down to. And then what's the ability to actually implement some of those best practices, like getting water to animals or to a crop or whatever, some very, very basic fundamental things that we take for granted on a daily basis. Those pieces are not there, but it does start with gaining access to the information. And remarkably enough, although they may not have running water, they may not have electricity readily available and a lot of other very common utilities, a lot of these communities actually do have good wireless access and can have cell phones. And cell phones are definitely a main means of communication, of not necessarily by voice, but by SMS, by text messaging, things like that. So there's a lot of applications that have been developed by taking these data sets and basically deriving valuable information and then able to communicate that to certain folks through an SMS platform, which then can spread through other members through word of mouth and things like that. So if there's a disease, that's popping up in various states, like a crop disease or an animal or something like that, and they're starting to see some movement on that, they can quickly circulate that information and hopefully offer some preventative measures to basically mitigate that issue as quickly as possible. So again, that's one of the pieces that is there that could be leveraged moving forward.
How about from the standpoint, I know there was discussion on the idea of marketing, what we can actually do with the data as much as just the idea that we've got to just make all this data available.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, as it was coined many times, that the data is really the fuel to help innovate and offer new solutions and more data. Well, very, very important. Really, it's about the applications. It's really about what you can do with the data that's really important and leveraging it for the common good, if you will. And that was probably one of the biggest topics that was voiced during the conference was, yeah, that's great. You can provide the data to us, but we really need to help market more applications, more benefits of what the data can be utilized for, because that could help welcome new, innovators into the space to help provide these solutions. So I think that's where the opportunity lies. I think that's where, if you take a company like Raven, for instance, we have a platform, an information platform that can take data sets, and we have a communications platform that can deliver that. We have a platform that can help deliver that in rural and remote areas where typically you might not be able to get a connection. So we take a look at our offering and say, well, if we can leverage this and leverage that, what type of value can we deliver, for these farmers and help increase the production in those regions?
So for a company like yours, Raven Industries, you operate on a global basis. That's the world we're in today. What did you see and hear that you could bring back to the company, and what kind of value and importance for these concepts do you see for a company like yours?
Yeah, well, one of our purpose at Raven from our divisional perspective is to help farmers feed the world. That's our purpose. And here's an example of, an area, some farmers that are just a little bit different from the typical adoption curve that we typically see in North America or even in some of the other regions around the world that we serve. And so, again, some of our technologies that we've developed over, just talking about the communication platform and our ability to have we have an open platform as well from a information management perspective and wireless connectivity platform that, again, can probably reach in areas that typically cannot be reached with you know, consumer-grade devices, things like that. That's one position. The other is just some of our most basic technologies that have been developed over the years, go back, say, 30 years ago. Those are very, very fundamental pieces that could still be leveraged today in some of these emerging markets, and by making, you know, tweaks to them and things like that, getting them into those farmers' hands could serve a lot of good as well. So, you know, it lines up with our purpose of feeding the world. We have some technology that can help that on various fronts, and I think by helping provide them with some of these tools, we can help increase productivity in regions that really, really need it.
So besides other areas of the world, let's look back here in the United States. If this type of information gets put into the type of systems that were talked about here, do you see that that's going to have, number one, value for U.S. farmers? And are there, at the same time, any concerns that farmers here in the U.S. might have about data and information that they might have from their farm being put into this kind of infrastructure?
Well, there's certainly opportunity, because I think a couple points on that is there are a lot of people in these regions. We're talking, you know, billions that quickly, you know, add up, I guess. And as we know, if you can increase agricultural practices in areas and as economies grow, GDP grows. As GDP grows, food consumption typically grows, protein consumption grows. So I think from an economical perspective, if we can increase their, you know, economics and their GDP, the diets will change, they will improve, which will create more demand for some of the products that we offer today. So yes, in some aspects you could say, you know, maybe there are certain commodities that they would not need to import because they're self-sustaining on one hand. On the other hand, I don't know if they can meet that demand anytime soon. And we want to make them more of a viable importer of different commodities in itself. So just by raising the economic value, that could prompt more imports into those regions, exports for us, and then, of course, all the other tangible goods that can also be sold into those regions. And we got to talk about animals. We got to talk about, you know, other protein sources and so on. So I think as the tide rises, I think there's more opportunities that could be presented there. As far as information goes and the sharing of that, there's a lot of concern and a lot of thought being put into what data actually gets shared. Well, it's a very much aggregated information. It's been scrubbed. It's very neutral. It's very macro level. So I don't believe that a lot of the information that can be shared will be very, you know, tightly woven to certain regions, certain things. It's big data sets that, you know, from a USDA level, from you know, other agency levels, those are the kinds of sets that, you know, demographic data, you know, crop production data, and here's some of the common practices that get utilized. I think that's kind of the level of things that we're going to see and can be utilized. I don't think there's a lot of risk there as far as, you know, sensitive data getting into the wrong hands.
Well, then when you get to an end of a conference like this, you always wonder what's next, where do we go from here? Did you, and I know that there are some of those things, there were some action plans that different countries were creating or going to create. The U.S. has one. I didn't really get to study it carefully once I got access to it. But what did you hear about what's going to happen? I mean, are there some specific or things that or positive type things that are going to come out of this, do you think?
Yeah, I, like you, still need a little time to digest all the information that was shared. There were several data sets that were announced at this conference and basically now made available because of the conference. A lot of them can be found on the website, www.data.gov. There's a lot of data that's going to be residing there and talking about how you can access certain data sets and what you can potentially do with it. So I was just scrolling through there this morning, and there's a pretty long list of things that are in there. But I think what's probably just as important is what may come down the road, what will become more available, and some of the behaviors of certain, you know, again, the scientists, the, you know, the governments that are, you know, these have been publicly funded projects, and now making some of that information publicly available, you know, I think can be leveraged and shared. So we need to soak a lot of that in and figure out what could be of value, and if we were to combine that with some of the other things that we can do from an intellectual property perspective, spin that out into, you know, a very valuable service for our customers. I think that's what we're challenged with, is to figure that out. One of the examples I should mention that of the past that they cited as, hey, here was some open data that was shared, and look what's become of that. And that was GPS, that the GPS signals, the satellite signals that were once very proprietary to the defense for the government, they made those signals available, a higher accuracy version of those available, and they're taking a lot of credit for the fact that now look at the precision ag industry as a result of what they can do with this open data, GPS data that is now available. Now they can steer tractors, combines, various implements, and gain efficiencies, and look how that has helped grow the agricultural segment. So that's an example. There was a lot of talk around another example is weather and climate data that's available through NOAA. And now that, you know, weather predictions and things, you know, different weather patterns and stuff can be enhanced by having access to data sets of the past and being able to provide better forecasting based on current conditions mixed with historical conditions can give you a better result for prediction models. So those are examples of things that have been done. I think that from a, you know, think about satellite imagery, think of some of the other, you know, Landsat's another example of a government-funded effort that takes satellite, you know, photos, and, you know, now there's imagery data sets that are available for consumption and application development, and look what can be done with that. So I think those are some examples we could look back and reference, and then, okay, now moving forward, what are some of the new technologies that are available, and if we could have access to some of that data, what could we do with it?
Yeah, those are great examples. I'm glad you brought them up, because when you talk about the weather type information, one that I was dealing with yesterday was the U.S. Drought Monitor, which, again, comes through government information that's shared out so that you can get a pretty accurate view of where we're at with that around the country. That's good to look at something like that and be able to then say, let's hope we can take further information and create another success story like that. And if I remember right, there was definitely some encouraging going on during the conference for private industry, which would include companies like Raven, to get involved, because this kind of thing certainly could be a platform for new services that you might offer to your customers, and at that same time accomplishing some of those goals of feeding the world and improving food resources in areas that really need it right now. So any other thoughts that come to mind? I know that it's always hard to talk about everything that you saw and heard right after you saw and heard it, but anything else that you might want to share before we close?
Well, we talk about the drought monitor, and we talk about hopefully replenishing the water supply. But I do need to talk to somebody because that came in the form of snow this morning on May Day up here in South Dakota. So, you know, I'm not so sure, you know, maybe we still need to work on this so that we can help improve maybe the form that some of this moisture is delivered in the future. Maybe that's something we can.
Yeah, provide. Early May snowstorm is kind of amazing to me to see when you've got people literally were planting corn yesterday and now the field is covered with snow. That's not normal there, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you very much, Paul, for visiting with me here and talking about this international conference on open data for agriculture. A lot of interesting things discussed. We'll wait and see how it all plays out. But I know I'm going to be coming up and visiting Raven here just in the very near future. And maybe by that point, we can talk about it some more after we've had a chance to digest a lot of this.
Well, I look forward to that. It was my pleasure to talk with you this morning.
All right. Thank you. Well, this looks like a promising start to address this problem of open data and the implications for agriculture. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. That's our Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.